Welcome to Return to Life, weekly inspirational and empowering conversations on a variety of topics regarding everything health, wellness, meditation, and movement, guiding you to discover the peace that resides inside of you and help you live a balanced and blissful life. It's time to return to life. Here's your host, inspirational speaker, meditation and yoga teacher, and spiritual coach, Pam Butler.
Good morning and welcome to Return to Life. I'm Pam Butler and you are listening to Vivid Life Radio on vividlife.me. Our show this morning is titled, How to Control Your Inner Dialogue with Meditation, Mindfulness, and Yoga. My guest this morning is Sam Shelley. Sam is a minister of inspiration who inspires people to break their cycle of thought addiction. Sam is known as an anti-thought leader, and he's the author of the book, I Don't Dwell, a book that details his journey from being sick with incurable diseases, including bipolar and multiple sclerosis, to good health today with no signs of the disease, no longer needing medicine or the use of his cane. So welcome this morning, Sam. Thank you for joining me this morning.
Hi, Pam. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to our conversation, Sam. You have quite a story. Wow, what a journey you have had. I think first, though, I'd like to have you kind of paint the picture of, you know, the suffering that you had been experiencing for, gosh, over 40 years, right?
Yeah, it was about 40 years of suffering.
I'm so sorry that you experienced that, and you know, I'm glad and I appreciate you opening up and being willing to talk about all of that pain. But if you could kind of just, you know, give us a, like I said, paint a picture of what that was like for you, both physically and mentally.
Okay, yeah, I can just share a little bit of my health journey. The pain and suffering began when I was 6 years old. It was the last day of school. I was doing what normal kids do. You hear the ice cream truck. You beg money from the parents to go get your ice cream. So I did that. I got my ice cream. Then as I was walking back across the street into my house, a guy not paying attention ran over me. So at six years old, I nearly died from that accident. A lot of head trauma, broken left elbow, broken hip, almost bled out. I only had a 50% chance of survival. But I did survive that. And unfortunately, what that did is I naturally put my parents in a state of worry, and I also became very worried and overprotective of myself. So I had a lot of health challenges, you know, when I was young. Then this state of being worried that something else is going to go wrong manifested into a mental illness. And I wasn't diagnosed with mental illness until I actually fell into a really dark depression in my 20s. So my 20s was a very challenging time. And I was diagnosed bipolar and had to be hospitalized a few times so I didn't kill myself. And one of the things that was really disturbing in the hospital that I'll talk about a little bit later is, in the psych ward, is they would let you watch anything. They had no concept of the power of thoughts. So it was all about medicine and ECT at that time. So I was just dealing with like these really harsh voices in my head when I was a bipolar. And we'll just fast forward a little bit from there. Was the bipolar was just a very challenging time, from depression to mania to trying to kill myself. Then I had a few other ailments, but the big one that really hit me is at age 37, I found myself at the University of Pennsylvania unable to walk. I could barely see. I remember being in the hospital, unable to walk. I had an eye patch on my left eye because my eye was jumping around all over the place. My right eye was blurry. I could barely swallow. I also had other many, many difficulties at that time at age 37. So I spent 3 weeks in the hospital, then 3 weeks in another rehab facility, just somewhat functioning normal. There's just a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. And unfortunately, with MS, it's not one test where they can say, you have this. This is how we treat this. So it was just a process of elimination at the hospital, what I didn't have. So I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And at that time, it really took my bipolar to a different level. And unfortunately, my doctor at that time didn't have the best bedside manners. He just came in, matter of fact, one day, oh, by the way, you determined you have MS, and he promptly walked out of the room. And I was just left in shambles because I really didn't know what to expect. If I was going to get better, was I going to get worse? So I just had all this pain to not be able to walk. But once I got out of rehab, I could get around and a cane, but initially it was a wheelchair, but I could get around with a cane. And then it got better, but I would still have my cane on occasion. So by the time I was 40 years old, I was dealing with my bipolar, my multiple sclerosis. I had psoriasis, the itchy skin disease in about a third of my body. And when psoriasis gets into your joints, it becomes psoriatic arthritis. And in addition to all that, I also had my migraines. And I would get 1 to 2 debilitating migraines a week. So all I could really do by the time I was 37, 38 years old was watch a lot of TV and be a couch potato. I could drag myself to work after some time, but it was a big challenge that I had to take 13 medications a day, almost 24 pills. I needed my cane on occasion. Then with multiple sclerosis, anything above 70 degrees, my body would start to shut down because of the disease of the brain and spinal cord. So I had to wear this cooling vest, anything above 70 degrees. And I would frequently leave places that were too warm because I just couldn't tolerate that. Then anything above 90 degrees, I wouldn't go outside. My whole body would shut down. I would end up with this massive migraine, and my whole body would just start falling apart. So that's where I was for a while between the bipolar, the MS, and everything else that was going on.
Yeah, wow, Sam. Thank you for sharing that. What a journey and what a story of pain. And I can't even begin to imagine, you know, both the physical and the mental colliding at the same time. And you know, I think even more what strikes me is over that long period of time, the trauma that you experienced, again, both physically and mentally. So all of the medication that you were on, the physical therapy that you were doing, the suicide thoughts, that's a recipe right there that most people wouldn't be able to move through and move forward to. And I think what's most important with you is you've moved through all that, Sam, and now you're an inspiration, you're an author, and you're sharing your story of pain, but you're using your story to help inspire and in hopes to help other people heal. So I really honor you for that, and again, thank you for sharing all of that with me.
Yeah, that was pretty much it in a nutshell. And yeah, I can get into more stories, but the biggest thing that I see, even when I was seeing someone in the hospital recently, there was no concept to the power of thoughts on what we watch. It was really disturbing to see with these PTSD patients watching this really violent film. It's like they had no concept what they were doing to these patients.
No, and you did make the point of saying it was more just about the medication to treat you and not incorporating any of the other mind-body connections. So, Sam, we're going to take a quick break right now. When we get back, we'll talk about how you made your shift and how you got from where you were in the hospital to where you are today. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me. When we are young, we are taught how to walk and talk and read and write, but we aren't taught what to do when life feels insurmountable. Inspirational speaker, meditation and yoga teacher, and spiritual coach, Pam Butler guides you to heal emotional anxiety, create mental clarity and calmness, relax the mind, center attention, and sharpen concentration. Book a session with Pam today and learn how to reclaim your inner peace by connecting the mind, body, and spirit. Log on to www.returntolife.com. That's www.returntolife.com to book your session and learn to love life again. You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Welcome back to Return to Life. I'm Pam Butler, and my guest today is Sam Shelley. So, Sam, in the first part of the show, you painted that picture of your health, your mental health, your physical health, and the suffering that you have been through. I'd like to now kind of take the journey and move it to the point of you're in the hospital, you're being treated pretty much just for the symptoms that you're experiencing, not the cause of the issues. You know, you had suffered from the PTSD at 6 years old with the accident and moving into the bipolar, multiple sclerosis, and, you know, not having a whole lot of hope at that point. And as you had said, been worrying about what was going to happen next. So you have stress, you have worry, you have fear. How did you pull yourself out of that? What was your shift?
Yeah, the biggest thing for me, and I didn't know this at that time, but I used to watch a lot of TV. You know, I can remember being like 40 years old. I was that couch potato. There wasn't much I could do but watch TV. And one of the things I liked to watch was ghost hunting shows. I just thought I found it interesting or curious. I'm not really sure what, but it was like, this is TV. I don't know if it's real or scripted. So I'd watch these ghost hunting shows. Then I just saw a tweet from one of the hosts saying, hey, we're having this event down in Philadelphia. So I thought, hey, let me go to this. So I put on my cooling vest. I grabbed my cane. And because I had really chronic fatigue at that time, I knew I could just go for an hour. So I got a hotel near the place. With the intention of just going for an hour. So I did go for an hour, and I had an experience I just could not explain. I was just sitting in the area at Fort Mifflin in the casemates, and somebody put out a flashlight, and they said, turn this flashlight on, it went on. Turn this flashlight off, it went off. And this was going back and forth for a good minute or two. I'm like, isn't that curious? But wait, that's their flashlight. So I put out my flashlight, and it, too, was going on and off by command. Then I also felt some other things I just could not explain. It felt like somebody sat next to me that I could not see. And I also had waves of dread just coming over me on occasion. So after the ghost haunting event, I started to read some books. But I was reading books very slowly because my eyesight was very poor. I couldn't read too long without getting a migraine. So it took me a long time to get through some books. Well, I read one book one time that talked about meditation, and one of the benefits of meditation was inner peace. I'm like, that's it. That's what I need. So that night, I began with a simple five-minute meditation practice.
What was the book that you read, Sam? Do you remember what the title of the book was and who it was by?
No, I don't remember. I know they didn't talk about a lot about meditation. It was more about, I know it was more of like mediumship, talking to spirits, and how mediums mm-hmm. get into that space.
And that, but it was the meditation component that really kind of struck your attention?
Yeah, that meditation equals inner peace. And my world was like, that's it. I need meditation for inner peace. I had no concept of the healing that would occur from that place of peace. So what I did, the first 2 weeks of sitting there for 5 minutes were extremely difficult. Moving my bipolar OCD brain, it was constantly telling me that I was wasting my time. There was better things to do. I was missing my favorite show. You know, just the voice was just going on and on and on about how much I was wasting my time. But what really kept me going is like, meditation equals inner peace. So I just kept pushing through that. for 5 minutes a day. And by the second month, you know, the mom was going to a little bit quieter, but second month I was 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the evening. That was my simple practice. I never had a teacher. I simply knew that I need to meditate. I need to get some inner peace.
That really was your, that sounds like that was really your mantra at the time, you know, inner peace, and, you know, so many people I know, and myself included, even though I'm a meditator, we all suffer from that monkey mind and not being able to quiet that chatter, but knowing that the meditation is going to help you dive into that peace and help you find that inner peace, and great to be able to make that commitment and set that time aside in the morning and in the afternoon. So I'd like to talk a little bit more about how you fit that into your schedule, but let's keep going with the story on your shift, and then we'll get into the tools.
Okay, yeah, so by the third month, I was 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the evening. The mind was growing quieter, but I can't explain it. One evening after my 10-minute practice, I was just sitting there, and I just heard a voice say, "Perfect Spirit." I can't explain that voice. I just heard a voice, "Perfect Spirit." But that was the right time for me to hear that voice, because if I heard that any earlier, I'd have been back at my psychiatrist saying, "I think I'm schizophrenic now. I'm hearing voices." Because this voice was outside of me. It was really a strange voice. I just heard a voice say, "Perfect Spirit." I'm like, and I just had a knowing then. I'm like, that's it. My spirit is perfect. It's simply the mind and body that are damaged. Then I just simply had a deep, deep knowing that all was well. All sense of fear about my health just went away. I simply knew all is well and that I am this perfect spirit. Then that was pretty much the huge shift in my life, just realizing. It's like my thoughts immediately got quiet since I knew that all was well from that state. Then that evening after I heard that voice, I did something that was really out there and crazy, and I wouldn't recommend this for everybody. I started to taper my medicine off because I knew that my health challenges were now over. I simply knew that. And I can look back and see that was a really leap of faith because it took 5 years to get my bipolar medicine right. Now, it was like...
And you know, so you started weaning yourself off of all medication?
Yeah, I'm on no medication today. I haven't been since that day. It took me 18 months to wean off myself all my medication.
Yeah.
I never worked with my doctors on it except for one drug that I just could not get myself off of, because it was a very addictive medicine. So it took me – I just worked with one doctor on that who gave me a few tips, and that's all I needed, and I was on my way. And it's
yeah,
just,
so that's, I mean, that's such an inspirational story right there. I want to caution though, you know, people that are listening to make sure that, you know, because it's stories like yours and my story is similar where meditation took the place of the medication that I would be on, I was on. So I just want to make sure that our listeners, you know, stay under doctor's care. I think that's important to say.
Yes,
you know, I don't want
is.
People to think that just because you start meditating, you can get off of your medication. Hopefully that is the case and that's the ultimate goal, but really staying under the doctor's care throughout that. So at that point then, Sam, were you experiencing less pain in the physical body as well as, you know, you had talked about that, you know, that mind being able to slow down and the chatter being able to slow down. But what about the physical problems that you had been experiencing, the MS and the itchy skin and whatnot? What was going on with all of that?
Yeah, it's just really hard to explain. After that voice saying perfect spirit, I don't know if it was like the voice of God or whatever, but whatever that was that instilled in me, the descent of grace, that all is well. And I just had this deep knowing. That's why I share in my book, like, all the practices that I use, because I never had a teacher. It was just my own inner wisdom rose up and say, okay, now it's time to do this, to do this, to do this. Like, all these little steps I took. So shortly after that, I started to begin a yoga practice. And 6 months after yoga, I didn't need my pain anymore because my balance was getting better. And the pain was really diminishing quickly at that point. from the, hearing that voice, it was like a really rapid. So over 18 months, I was doing all these little steps. And at the end of 18 months, my health was back to normal, per se. I saw, even saw my doctor one last time, my neurologist, and he simply could not explain me. He just was at a loss. Because he looked at my blood work, he did a physical examination. He just could not explain what he was seeing. And he questioned me for 45 minutes trying to figure it out. And he couldn't quantify what he saw. And it was just a really miraculous healing.
Yeah, that is. That is miraculous. I mean, that's amazing. So you're medication free. Are you pain free?
Yes, I'm pain free. And I have on YouTube of me juggling, something I could never imagine myself
wow.
doing. I'm the only person in the world that has been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis that can juggle.
That's amazing. I'd like to now shift into Sam's toolbox. You know, I think you have such an amazing story. You're so inspirational. I'm going to guide people to your website at the end of the show. But for people that may be experiencing that monkey mind inner dialogue chatter, that may be experiencing physical pain, what are some of the go-to tools that you'd like to share with your students?
Yeah, the big thing I really want to share with people is don't get too focused on the end goal. Like, that was my thing. I just equal meditation equals inner peace. It wasn't meditation equals healing. That is
okay.
too big of a leap. So it's more like you can move any mountain one pebble at a time. So you just got to find that little pebble that you can do today. Whether it's sitting for 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 1 minute, it really doesn't matter. It's all about taking time for yourself that I deserve inner peace. I deserve time to myself. Just to disconnect from everything. And just find a spot where you can just sit and just be quiet. Because I had no rules on meditation. I didn't have to sit a certain way. I didn't have to breathe a certain way. I didn't hold my hands a certain way. Like I said, the book I read had 2 pages on meditation. There was really nothing to it. It was more about the benefits. And all I knew was just to sit there and not react to the mind. It sounds simple, but it was very difficult. Because the first week of meditation, I was constantly saying, shut up mind, shut up mind, shut up mind. But the mind will always keep going. It's always thinking. Even today my mind is still thinking. I just don't react to all these thoughts and the troubling thoughts, all that stuff. I don't react to that.
Right, and
I
think that's
learn.
Important. Yeah, I think that's an important point, Sam, about meditation, because people do, I think they have the idea or the misconception that with meditation you're stopping or ceasing all thoughts. And we can't ever stop thinking. If we stop thinking, we'd actually be dead. But, you know, we're always thinking and having that chatter. But like you said, the chatter gets to be a little bit more quiet. It starts to settle down and we become less reactive to that. We know these thoughts come and we know these thoughts go. So, you know, encouraging people to go online and, you know, either on YouTube or Googling, you know, introductory to meditation, breathing techniques, blah, blah, blah. You know, having that conscious action versus reaction, being able to control and not just blurt things out, not just, you know, be in that reactive state. I mean, I posted an article on Facebook yesterday about the benefits of meditation, and it's just endless. But it's hard for people to get started, and when they get started, they get frustrated because they can't get their mind to stop. We have anywhere from 60 to 80,000 thoughts a day. Most of those
right.
thoughts are stressful thoughts. We can't ever not think, but it's what we do with those thoughts. So we have a minute or so to wrap up. Sam, do you have anything else that you would like to share with the listeners?
Yeah, the one thing that really I was blessed not to have a teacher, because if you told my bipolar OCD brain that I had to sit a certain way or breathe a certain way, I'd been so wrapped up in the rules of meditation,
right.
I would have never gotten out of the mind. So it's just a matter of just letting go of the rules, that all the rules are made up. It's just the mind inventing rules. And the other thing that I'd really like to share with folks is constantly notice your surrounding and touched objects and really use like a mindfulness practice of just realizing that your thoughts are not in this moment. They're pulling you elsewhere. the way you get yourself back into this moment is by notice what you're seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, engaging your senses because they are here in this moment. Our thoughts are always not in this moment. They're either in the future or the past. And all of our actions take place here in this moment. So just being here fully and just taking that one little step. What's one little thing you can do today? Not the big goal, but what is something small, like time for yourself?
I think that's perfectly stated and perfectly said, and certainly engaging our five senses is the best way to become mindful in any moment. And, you know, focusing on the breath. If you sit down and you close your eyes, and for 1 minute you focus on the inhale, you focus on the exhale, and that's all you're focusing on, you can't be worried or thinking about anything else, right? You know, a lot of our depression comes from dwelling on the past. A lot of our anxiety comes from what's going to happen in the future, things we can't control. So being in the present moment, like you said, engaging the five senses. So one last question. We have a campaign that we're hosting on Vivid Life, and I'd like to ask you the question, Sam, what does your vivid life look like?
Being open to all experiences, not allowing the mind to make me small or limited, just realizing that I am a limitless being. I am that perfect spirit, and everyone you see is a perfect spirit. They're just simply lost in the world of thoughts. Most people just weren't lost in the world of thoughts, so it's about being open to all experiences and that you can do anything. It may not be perfect, but you can do anything. We have to do our practice to get to perfect, and it doesn't ever usually come from most folks. Of just making some improvements. We could all make some improvements. It's like, I really want to be able to do that, but I've never had that skill. That's fine, but you can make some improvements toward it.
Wonderful. I love it, Sam. Thank you so much for joining me today. Wow, what a story. You are such an inspiration. Thank you for sharing your journey, and thank you for leaving us with those tools. That's awesome. You can connect with Sam on Twitter at Sam Shelley, Shelley, and the website is www.don'tdwell.org. It's all posted on the Vivid Life website. You can go to my website, returntolife.com, sign up, add your email address, and I will be sending you free stop-free meditations and bliss tips and whatnot. Thank you so much for joining me here today. I look forward to having you join us again next week on Vivid Life Radio. This is Pam Butler.
Thank you for listening to Return to Life with Pam Butler. As we all know, stress has become an epidemic in our society, contributing to more diseases in our bodies. Listen each week as Pam shares easy and practical information and tools to connect your mind, body, and spirit and return to a life that is more balanced and blissful than ever before. What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.